but my mama was a Delco girl.
Are you ready for a quiz?
Yes, no, I love a quiz. I love a quiz.
Okay, question number one.
Yeah.
What relationship to you is your sister's brother's mother's husband?
Sister's upright.
Wrong.
No.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Who do most little boys want to be like?
I know the president.
Wrong.
I knew that was wrong.
Question number three.
Yeah,
what special holiday falls on the third Sunday of June?
Mother's Day.
You're right.
Yeah, I won.
What did I win?
Win? Who said anything about winning?
A Father's Day reminder from this station and the Seventh-day Adventists.
Christopher Bad Shot lives in a house with 120 rooms. Buckers and bakers and candles and bakers and horses and horses rooms. She let me. to me. She let me take her out to the woods and back to her house for tea.
Maggie dear, just won't go out alone. It seems that she must have a chaperone. When we go out, no matter where we're bound, there's always somebody around. Oh, she brings her father, her mother, her sister and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. She brings her uncles, her cousins, she's got them by the dozens. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. And if I phone her, say to her sweet, where shall we meet? Supposing that we each, she brings her father, her mother, her sister and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. I bought a roadster, two-seated. I even had it heated so that I could see Maggie alone. While we were riding and a-kissing, the engine started missing, and we were a long ways from home. I got right out then, as fast as I could. I found what was wrong, for when I raised the hood, there was her father, her mother, her sister, and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. One day she said she was a-wishing that I would take her fishing. Oh, I knew I'd see Maggie alone. In a canoe then, we two then, went gliding o'er the water, far from the noise of her home. I threw my line in, I thought I'd catch a trout. I got a bite, and I pulled the line right out. There was her father, her mother, her sister and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. Oh, she brings her father, her mother, her sister and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. One night while we were out walking, and she grew tired of talking, she invited me up to her home. I turned the lights down, they were too bright. Oh, what a night. But when I turned on the light, there was her father, her mother, her sister and a brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. Oh, I never see my Maggie alone.
Went to the grocery store with my mom the other day. We bought some milk. Had pictures of abducted children.
My picture was on the milk carton with all the rest of them. My name and the right birthday.
I went home. I told my daddy about seeing my picture on a milk carton. He got out his belt. Told me I shouldn't tell him things like that. Told him I shouldn't tell him lies like that. If I was lying, why was my picture on a milk carton? Why was my picture on the milk carton? Would I go back to my real mom and daddy? Who am I living with? Nothing makes sense anymore, I don't understand.
From the blue. After last night, I have to tell you we are through. When we're alone, everything is okay. But it's never gonna stay that way. When I take you home, your family has so much to say. I try and I try to be cool when they start. But girl, they're the ones. Shows me his collection of bugs. Your aunts don't like me and your uncles are a bunch of thugs. Your father coughs and blows smoke in my face. He still believes in the superior race. He says if he were president, the world would be a better place. I try and I try to ignore.
Watch me look at all of her prom pictures. I mean, who cares? And your brother wants to help him with a science project, dissecting frogs. What a mess. And I go in the bathroom to wash my hands, and all they have is salt soap, and my hands smell like coconut. And I can't dry my those little guest towels, so I gotta wipe them on my shirt, which is already covered with cat hair. And then when I come outside, your father corners me and starts telling me all the jokes that he read in Playboy magazine. And not to me at the...
Something. First come and then I'll tell you. It's a secret. It's about Willie and the teacher, and he called him a stupid dope. Mommy, do you hear me? Give me a drink of water. Turn the light on. I can't see. The chair's moving. There's a funny animal on the wall. You coming, Ma? There's an aeroplane in the room and it's flying all around. It's flying in my head. Ma. Mommy, give me a drink of water. Seymour's mother always gives him water, he told me. And sometimes his mother lets him get it himself. And that crazy Barbara in school today, she scratched me. It hurts too. You wanna see it, Ma? I need a bandage it up. Mommy, oh, Mommy, tell me a story. The one about the king who lived in the woods. And he killed a wicked dragon with his magic sword. That's the one I like. Tell me that one. Tell me, Mommy. Tell me. I'm gonna tell Daddy you're not a good mommy. You never listen to me. You're bad, naughty mommy. Mommy. Give me a drink of water. Give me a cookie too. Turn the light up. Tell me a story. The one about the, you know, mommy. Tell me. Tell me. Drink of water.
There's something funny around here. What is it? Oh, it's you. Come here and sit down. You're going to have the truth told about you and put on record. Here, please do not sit too close to me. I've just had my breakfast. Thank you. Who put salt in the sugar bowl? Who put fireworks in the coal? Who put a real-life toad in the hole? My brother. Who put jam in mother's shoe? Who made real caterpillar stew? Who locked granddad in the loo? My brother. My brother said it wasn't he who put shampoo in grandma's tea. My brother said that it was me. My brother's rotten. Who squeezed toothpaste round the hall? Who put soot in the baby's ball? Who drew things on the garden wall? My brother. You ought to see what he drew. Oh, what a surprise. Nobody knew what it was really, but everybody had a jolly good idea. And he wrote slogans. Down with young mothers, that was one. Because he don't think my mum knows how to bring us up right. I don't think so either. You know, every night when we're wide awake, she makes us go to bed. And then in the morning when we're fast asleep, she makes us get up. Whose pet mouse made Auntie shriek? Who ate glue and couldn't speak? What clever dick was sick for a week? My brother. Who keeps maggots in a tin? Plays the twist on his violin. Who's been getting at the gin? My brother. He looks just like a chimney sweep, but dirt, they say, is just skin deep. I know he's good when he's asleep. But you don't know what he's dreaming about, do you? Who wouldn't mind if I ride his bike? Who lets me shoot his gun if I like? Who says I'm best at football, Ludo, snakes and ladders, hide and seek, chasing each other up and down the garden, pinching little girls up the high street? Well, he's got to say I'm best because I'm bigger than he is, and if he don't say I'm best at everything, I'll bash him. Ha-ha! My lovely, lovely brother. Come on, mate, let's get out of here before you fall down the hole in the middle. Come on, give us your hand. We're going to walk. Here, what have you had in your hand? Have you? Four.
I got my pajamas on. Before I go to bed, I'm going to run around. I'm standing on my head. The world is upside down. And Wilson, my teddy bear, we're gonna do a lot of wiggling before we go upstairs. Watch out, you lions, you tigers, you bears, I've got my pajamas on. Mommy said, put them on, and I said no. Daddy said, let's go. I said, all right. I'm clean and I'm warm and I'm out of sight. I've got my pajamas on. And if you want to mess around, you're going to have to do it alone. I love being little and I love being grown. I've got my pajamas, got my pajamas, I got my pajamas on.
You not tell me again all the nice thing you've been telling me before, the time you wanted me to marry you. You've been telling me I was the tallest pygmy in this life, that no other pygmy could be taller past me. You remember? That time you been love me, eh? So me too, I believe you. Now so I go, I marry you. But just now, I be sorry. Sorry plenty. Sorry that I marry you. Because you make me cry all time. Why you make me cry and feel sad like that? Tell me. I am very good husband for you. Remember, the time I marry you, you've been being small, small, slim, slim, and light, like a dry leaf. You know, remember? So I begin feed you. I kill monkey, I kill elephant in the forest to feed you. I feed you so day, you become big fat woman, very good woman for me. But everything it be changing. All you giving me today, only sadness. And now you say you won't go back to your family, you won't go back to your papa. But you know what? I can tell you something. I've been give your papa 8 elephant tusk, big elephant tusk, so that I marry you. And your papa, he been take the tusk, go and sell them to the giant people in the village. And the man himself, your papa, he be too old now. No strong again, no fit kill elephant again. Too old. So if you go back to your papa, he no fit give me my tusk back. Tell me, who go pay? Give me the name of the man who go pay me back my elephant tusk. You say you get another man, younger than me, and you say, nahi, go pay me back. Ah, you hear me this, Tolly? The woman, he be bad woman, oh. You be very bad woman. But if the man can pay, you just go away. Go. I no one see you again. Go, go, go away. You be bad woman. You be too bad woman. Hey. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Warming up. I hear the pitter patter of little people on the living room rug. Woe is me, there goes the TV. Now it's Popeye and Pluto, Batman and Bozo. Don't spill the cornflakes, they'll break at lunch break. Home from the office, why did I stop to have a beer with the boys? Now my head's about to pop, it's a Saturday morning confusion. If you think you can sleep, it's illusion, cause you probably get a rude intrusion from Harry the dog. Harry the dog is as big as can be, and Harry the dog had puppies last week. We couldn't tell if it's a he or a she, now we know. It's a Saturday morning confusion. If I could just get to the bathroom and get a cool rag and an aspirin to help I feel. But here come the twins and they're screaming at me. What is the deal? Who turned off the TV? Go ask your mother and quietly, your daddy is ill. There he is, Cousin Jack. You got the leaf rake too, kid, that's it, till I get it all back. Hanging around my yard, snooping in my garage. I tolerate him because he's my cousin. He's nice to the kids and Harry just loves if it's a Saturday morning confusion. And if I could just hide in the attic, so I can hear my wife yelling, take them all to the show. I'll take the whole neighborhood to the show. I'll just walk out and back where the money tree grows. Grab me a handful and off to the show we'll go. It's a Saturday morning confusion. And if I could just get a transfusion, or maybe go hide in the bedroom to 5 o'clock. Let it be known that at 5 the TV is gonna be tuned to the game of the week. And that goes for dogs and twins and the whole family. It's a Saturday morning confusion. It's a Saturday morning confusion. Day is done. Cousin Jack in his yard cooking steaks on a grill that I'll never get back. The twins in front of the TV, Harry with his family. Sis on her date, Mom at the door, smiles as she surveys the sight. For the first time today, the kingdom is quiet. Lord, let us thank you for Saturdays, and may they remain my friends. Don't I work all week long, keep me strong till they're grown. And next Saturday then, we'll do it again. When here they come, warming up, I hear the pitter patter of little people on a living room rug. Woe is me, there goes the TV.
Okay, hey, how are you? Okay, settle down, it's okay. All right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Bit Slip. I am your leaking host, KBC. I got some sort of disease that my nose is running, my eyes are running, my ears are clogged up. It's just a mess. It's either allergies or a cold. And I guess I should have known this was coming because my wife and I are going away on vacation in 2 days. So, of course, it would happen. So anyway, we missed Father's Day 2 days ago, so I decided what we'll do is we'll just do a salute to the whole family. What the hell, right? So, and in further confusion, I just decided to let it go in alphabetical order, not arranging stuff for continuity, etc., etc. So we started with somebody named Joanna Neal, who I know nothing about, and that was Daddy was a preacher and Mama was a go-go girl, followed by a guy named Lou DeShado, who I can also tell you nothing about. That was Everybody Works But Father. We heard Her Daddy's a Millionaire. That was the Ivies. The Ivies featured Pete Ham, and they went on to become Badfinger. And, of course, I'm guessing that was the turning point. Kenny Roberts after that, I Never See Maggie Alone, his biggest hit. He's a yodeler of quite some repute, and you'll see when I do my yodeling show, unless we can get the Kickstarter campaign to stop me. That's a challenge. That's right. After that, from Charlottesville, Virginia, we heard the Happy Flowers. Happy Flowers were just two guys, Mr. Horribly Charred Infant and Mr. Anus. Who cares what their real names were? And that was, of course, their romantic ballad, I Saw My Picture on a Milk Carton. Blotto after that, It's Not You, It's Your Damn Family. They are from Albany, and speaking of weird names, they used to use weird names too. We had Cheese Blotto, Lee Harvey Blotto, F. Lee Blotto, and I'm sure there were some others, and I guess they were just pretty clever. After that, Danny Kaye, who we'll hear from again in a few minutes. That was Mommy, Give Me a Glass of Water. Followed by Terry Scott, who was a fixture on British TV back in the 60s. This was his biggest hit, My Brother, from 1962. He was, like I say, a fixture on things like the Carry On films, and he had a years-long appearance on Curly Whirly chocolate bar commercials, dressed in a little schoolboy uniform. We heard from Livingston Taylor, who was younger than James Taylor, his younger brother. One of the four Taylors, if you can name them all. Good luck. And that was, of course, Pajamas. Followed by Pygmy Divorce, which is Francis Beebe from 1982. Francis was from Cameroon and was a big star back then. And then we heard from Saturday Morning Confusion, which was Bobby Russell. Bobby had a small career. I think he's probably best known for being married to Vicki Lawrence of The Carol Burnett Show. Unfortunately, Bobby died at the age of 52, so that sucked. Anyway, I got more for you coming up again, right at you.
Come here, Gull Dern, you. Take that, and that, and that.
That's right. Slap her down again, paw, slap her down again. Make her tell us more, paw, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kids. Slap her down again, Paul, slap her down again.
Well, Pa and Ma was so darn sore, they woke me up one night. There was some awful cussing, and Ma said Pa was right. They was a waiting Sister Bess who never kept her word. The sun came up as Bess came in, and this is what I heard.
Whoa.
Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again, Pa. Oh, slap her down again.
Unquote.
Now poor old Bess got so darn mad, she ran away one day to meet that traveling salesman with city slicking ways. We ran and stood beside the road with shotguns by our side. Me and Deacon Pa and Ma, who yelled as they came by,
"Why don't you slap her down again, Pa? Slap her down again."
Yeah, make her tell us more, Pa. Tell us where she's from.
You know that we don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again, Pa. Slap her down again.
Now Ma and Pa, they planned for Bess to marry Deacon Brown and not that traveling salesman who always came around. They made poor Bessie go to church. Her face was mighty red. The deacon took one look at her, and this is what he said. Oh, slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again.
Unquote.
Do-si-do. Boy, that's hot stuff, ain't it? Well, the moral of the story, girls, is don't stay out too late unless you take your shoes off outside your pappy's gate. If Ma don't hear you coming in, she won't lay down the law, and you won't have to worry, 'cause she won't sing out to Pa. Oh,
slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again.
Take that, and that, and that.
Oh, that nagging wife of mine, she nags at me all the time. When I come home from work, she calls me a dirty jerk. Oh, that nagging wife of mine. Then I say, sweetheart, darling, I had to work overtime. The boss was short of man, so I had to lend a hand. Oh, that nagging wife of mine. with a redhead or a blonde. And don't try to make me think that you haven't had a drink. Oh, that nagging wife of mine. How I get the third degree. She nags with all her might from morning until night. Oh, that nagging wife of mine. Sister, she's so sweet. Got a very strong back, but I'm weak in my mind. Oh, that nagging wife of mine.
She came out of the sun with her hair in a bun and a big white hooping fanny. She had glasses and dentures and a taste for adventures, and they called her Trouble Granny. Now she don't bake cookies, she don't bake pies. This stone dead look in her wrinkly eyes. No bingo card ever touched her hand. She weighs 98 pounds, but she don't kick sand.
Oh, Trouble Granny, Trouble Granny, you're messing with fate. Trouble Granny,
sit up straight.
Trouble Granny was a sweet little old lady until one day she acquired superhuman strength after being bitten by a radioactive grandchild. Since then, she's waged a never-ending battle against crime and bad posture. And if you come to her town, you better be on her best behavior. And if she gives you a wedding gift, a birthday present, or a punch in the mouth, you write a thank you note.
That's Trouble Granny. Trouble Granny, never be rude. Trouble Granny,
chew your food.
Now Steven Seagal is the man to call if you're ever in a jam. And if you're small, it wouldn't hurt at all to know Jean-Claude Van Damme. But Trouble Granny's got some moves of her own, and she'll beat you 2 out of 2. And there's no harm in bringing some charmin', cause she'll kick the crap out of you.
That's Trouble Granny. Trouble Granny,
she's not very sweet.
Trouble Granny,
wipe your feet.
Now one day a burglar broke into her house, and there were jewels he was gonna pawn them. But all he saw were karate trophies, and they all had one name on them. In the moonlight he saw a little old lady in a rocking chair looking at him. And it just might have been a trick of the light, but he could swear he could see her grin. He said, "Don't move, lady, I'm taking your stuff, and there's nothing you can say. Just sit in that chair, don't go anywhere until I get away, cause I got a gun." And Trouble Granny said,
"Just one."
Trouble Granny, she's tougher than tough. Trouble Granny,
that's enough. I said that's enough.
Twenty tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, 2 angel faces, each with a turned up nose. One looks like mommy with a cute little curl on top, and the other one's got a big bald spot, exactly like his pop, 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 pop. pop, pop, I put on the light in the middle of the night and whispered, dear, let's go. He grabbed a sock and called the doc. He told me, don't be slow. He got me there with time to spare, and then he sat on pins until the doctor shook his hand and told him, you've got twins. 20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, two angel faces, each with a turned up nose. One looks like mommy with a cute little curl on top, and the other one's got a big bald spot, exactly like his pop, 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 pop. Pop, pop, we've got cribs and bottles and bibs all round our three-room flat. No time to see what's on TV, no room to swing a cat. We're on the run, we're never done, it's like a steeplechase. Oh, they came in and they took over like they own the place. 20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, two angel faces, each with a turned-up nose. One looks like mommy with a cute little girl on top, and the other one's got a big bald spot, exactly like his pop, 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 pop. Pop, pop, twice the laundry, twice the milk, it's twice the baby clothes. It's double this and double that, oh, how the money goes. But Pa and me, we both agree, when all is said and done, we've got twice the blessing and we've got twice the fun. 20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, two angel faces, each with a turned up nose. One looks like mommy with a cute little curl on top, and the other one's got a big bald spot, exactly like his pop, 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 pop it up. Pop, 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 pop it up. Pop, pop.
Trip.
They couldn't tell that we were lying,
and since Granny was unconscious, she was doing no denying.
With us two dreadful children, destruction is our aim. The people who have dealt with us are never quite the same. We like to torture babies and to leave them in the rain. With us two dreadful children, we delight in causing pain. We are those two dreadful children, and we always go too far.
You crept up to her bedroom
and you set her hair alight. And at the breakfast table next day, Auntie looked upright.
And our dear aunt, who was always given to understatement, declared that she had slept badly that night.
With depravity,
some other than the river, all for just one time.
Some children are adorable.
We'd rather be deplorable. We'd like to tell you more, but we just haven't got the time. We haven't got the time.
We're too busy being thoroughly detestable.
And then one day, a lady came to us and told us that all we really wanted was love.
And so we got her by the arms and legs and swung her in the air. And then we kicked her in the stomach and we grabbed her by the hair. And then we poked her out the fence and stuck marbles up her nose. And then we dragged her around the garden where the poison had grown. And after that we saw her and said, I think the lady knows.
That we were two gentle children, we're always playing games. We once burned down the house because we broke her like a chain.
Take one look at our sweet angelic faces and let it not be forgotten that deep down at heart we're both really rotten.
We are two gentle children and we always go to bah ha ha. We are the two gentle children and we always go to bah ha ha.
Hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam and he comes to you. Uncle Pockets with his magic pockets. Hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam and he finds for you. Mops and tops and lollipops, also a canoe. Which could be worn as a shoe.
A shoe!
Could be worn as a shoe. And the most amazing thing about the pockets where he's got them, they all have tops, but they don't seem to have any bottom. So hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam, and it's true. From a supersonic motor to a double chocolate soda, there's nothing Uncle Pockets hasn't got. Also a yacht, nothing Uncle Pockets hasn't got. Got a scooter full of chrome work, a brush to make your comb work, a magic pencil that will do your homework, and balls if you can bat 'em, a cat that eats macadam, an atomizer if you find an atom, a telephone to chat on, a mat to put your cat on, a frying pan that has a cowboy hat on, which when you come to think of it, isn't very strange, for a pot should be at home on the range.
Oh, now we know on whom to depend for rockets and sockets and sprockets.
You do? On who?
On whom?
All right, on whom and you may depend.
On the man with the pockets and pockets and pockets and pockets and pockets and pockets. Hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam and he comes to you.
Uncle Pockets with his magic pockets.
Hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam and he finds for you.
Mops and tops and lollipops, also a canoe. Which could be worn as a shoe.
A shoe!
Could be worn as a shoe.
And the most amazing thing about the pockets where he's got them, they all have tops.
But they don't seem to have any bottom.
So hoop-dee-doo and hullabaloo, alakazam, and it's true. From a supersonic motor to a double chocolate soda, there's nothing Uncle Pockets hasn't got.
Also a yacht.
Nothing Uncle Pockets hasn't got. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what.
No matter what.
Sally.
Irwin. Darling, I didn't mean to call you home from the office, but... there's something very important I must tell you.
What is it?
It's so hard to explain, darling, but... but, Irwin, up until now, there's just been the two of us, and... well, now the two of us are going to be three.
You're taking in a boarder?
No, Irwin, you don't understand. We're expecting a visitor. We're going to have someone who looks just like you.
Oh, you're going to buy a Cocker Spaniel?
No, sweetheart. Pretty soon, you'll notice around the house, well, something new has been added. What I mean is, well, a little bundle of...
oh, darling, a little bundle.
Yes, Irwin, that's it. Now you know.
At last, my laundry is back.
No, darling, we're having a baby.
A baby? Now I know. We've been married a year or more. It was a year worth living. Now we've got a thrill in store. Here's the news we're giving. We're having a baby, my baby and me. You'll read it in Wimco that we're adding a limb to our family tree. While pushing that carrot, how proud I will be. There's nothing like marriage. Ask your father and mother and they'll agree. I stayed home every night. Love was a game and I played it. Hello, Mom, what a fight. Gee, it was tough, but I made it. I'm thankful for Wheaties. They made a champion of me. We're having a baby, my baby and me.
You've made me so happy.
No trouble at all.
I'm proud of you, Pappy. I'm so glad you invited the stork to call.
There wasn't much to it.
You're just being shy.
No, honey, there wasn't much to it. Say, if Jessel can do it, so can I.
Thanks to you, life is bright. Why, you brought me joy beyond measure.
Oh, don't thank me.
No?
Quite all right. Honestly, it was a pleasure.
Just think, it's my first one.
The next one's on me. We're having a baby, my baby and me.
Between the innocence of babyhood and the dignity of manhood, we find a delightful creature called a boy. Boys come in assorted sizes, weights, and colors. But all boys have the same creed: to enjoy every second of every minute of every hour of every day, and to protest with noise, their only weapon, when their last minute is finished and the adult males pack them off to bed at night. Boys are found everywhere. On top of, underneath, inside of, climbing on, swinging from, running around, or jumping to. Mothers love them. Little girls hate them. Older sisters and brothers tolerate them. Adults ignore them, and heaven protects them. A boy is truth with dirt on its face, wisdom with bubblegum in its hair, and the hope of the future with a frog in its pocket. When you're busy, a boy is an inconsiderate, bothersome, intruding jangle of noise. When you want him to make a good impression, his brain turns to jelly. Or else he becomes a savage, sadistic jungle creature bent on destroying the world and himself with it. A boy is a composite. He has the appetite of a horse, the digestion of a sword swallower, the energy of a pocket-sized atomic bomb, and the curiosity of a cat. He has the lungs of a dictator, the imagination of a Paul Bunyan, the shyness of a violet, the audacity of a steel trap, the enthusiasm of a firecracker, and when he makes something, he has five thumbs on each hand. He likes ice cream, knives, saws, Christmas, comic books, the boy across the street, woods, water in its natural habitat, large animals, dad, trains, Saturday mornings, and fire engines. There's not much for Sunday school, company, schools, books without pictures, music lessons, neckties, barbers, girls, overcoats, adults, or bedtime. Nobody else is so early to rise or so late to supper. Nobody else gets so much fun out of trees and dogs and breezes. Nobody else can cram into one pocket a rusty knife, a half-eaten apple, 3 feet of string, an empty Bull Durham sack, 2 gumdrops, 6 cents, a slingshot, a chunk of some unknown substance, and a genuine supersonic code ring with a secret compartment. A boy is a magical creature. You can lock him out of your workshop, but you can't lock him out of your heart. You can get him out of your study, but you can't get him out of your mind. Might as well give up. He's your captor, your jailer, your boss, your master. He's a freckle-faced, pint-sized, cat-chasing bundle of noise. But when you come home at night with only the shattered pieces of your hopes and dreams, he can mend them like new with those two magic words. Hi, Dad.
Immediately following a girl's dream of a knight in shining armor and that long walk down the middle aisle comes that shattering reality commonly called a husband. A husband is... Jane...
Well, there are various ways of acquiring a husband. Candlelight, false eyelashes, homemade pies, wealthy parents, flattery, trickery, and determination. To avoid being one is the primary purpose of every single male. And the primary purpose of every married male is to get every single male married. What are husbands made of? Pipes, waterproof watches, do-it-yourself kits, World Series tickets, fishing trips, conventions, receding hairlines, clumsy feet, and, when they disagree with you, fat heads. When you want them, they can usually be found under cars, inside TV sets, behind newspapers, making bologna sandwiches, in hot water, and frequently in debt. Nobody can come home so late with so many alibis and bring along so many friends for dinner without letting you know. A husband is a rare combination of dreams of conquest, delusions of grandeur, animal magnetism, and wide-eyed innocence with lipstick on his collar. When you're sick, he's the doctor. When you're lost, he's the Boy Scout. When you cry, he's the comic. And when you can't stretch your budget, he's your piggy bank. A husband is an endless source of information. He knows taxes are too high, salaries too low, how to get things wholesale, a screwball from a knuckleball, the answer to last week's quiz shows, how to have a ticket fixed, army buddies, and too many other women. He doesn't know what's eating his boss, what makes his mother-in-law tick, what this world is coming to, how to mambo, and how to keep his mouth shut. Just so you can remember him every minute of the day, he leaves you with shirts to iron, buttons to sew on, spots to take off, messy ashtrays, clothes to pick up, garbage to take out, and then comes home and asks, "What have you done all day?" Who else can fix a hot water heater so quickly and then telephone the plumber for help? Who else can say, "Happy birthday," when it's really your wedding anniversary? And who else can spend a romantic evening yawning, reading, snoozing, and switching TV channels? A husband is lord and master with a dish towel in his hand, a tycoon pushing a lawnmower, and a metropolitan tenor singing in the shower. And when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and you look across the bed, the face you see is not Clark Gable, not Liberace. It's that unshaven, unkempt, bleary-eyed, wonderful hunk of a man, your husband.
Sugar and spice and everything nice, that's what little girls are made of. After years of acceptance, that little phrase has been swept aside for the modern version. Rhythm and blues and rubber-soled shoes, that's what girls are made of.
Responsible for this dramatic change is a fun-loving, giggly, chattering, unpredictable, unmanageable bundle of vitality known as a teenage girl. Years ago, one could tell the girls from the boys by the way they dressed. Now that girls have adopted boys' haircuts, shirts, blue jeans, and jackets, it's not so easy until you watch them walk away from you. In an average day, a teenager frustrates her mother, charms her father, irritates her kid brother, puzzles her teacher, befuddles her young boyfriend, and in the process, thoroughly confuses herself. In spite of it all, she has a boundless enthusiasm for nearly everything. Rock and roll music, disc jockeys, Elvis you know who, sleeping late, clothes, gossip, increased allowances, chewing gum with the mouth open, of course, charm bracelets, babysitting, and large football sweaters, especially one with a star halfback in it. When she's not under your feet, she's on your mind. And when you need her, you can find her under pin curlers, in front of mirrors, over homework started at bedtime, behind movie magazines, and between phone calls. A teenage girl loves to complain. She can't stand anything about her hair, girls who flirt with her date, nosy parents, and boys who don't dance, although she'll probably marry one who doesn't dance at all. A teenage girl's amazing energy comes from a steady, well-rounded diet of pizza pie, cheeseburgers, hot fudge sundaes, malted milks, French fries, and sometimes even fingernails. Today's teenage girl would rather learn pursuing than pursue learning. Nevertheless, she has a unique capacity for applying things taught in school. Carrying out the fundamentals of lend-lease, for example, she lends and leases combs, bobby pins, autographs, shoes, bus fare, and even homework answers. She's unique in other ways, too. Nobody, for instance, can guard a secret as loyally or spill it so easily. No one has gone steady quite so often and suffers quite so much when in love. At home in the evening, a teenage girl relaxes by listening to the latest and loudest rock and roll records. Her mother in the kitchen, although busily preparing the evening meal, feels a warm glow as she realizes that her teenage daughter is really enjoying life to its fullest. Overcome by these sentimental thoughts, she wipes her hands, goes to the foot of the stairs from where the music is coming, and in a sweet, motherly way, says,
"For heaven's sake, will you turn that darn thing off?"
Great, now I got a pot going on my amplifier here. Oh boy, my mixer, I should say. All right, yeah, we live and we learn. All right, so let's see, family crap today, huh? All right, so we started with Arthur Godfrey. That was Slap Her Down Again, Pa. Questionable morality about airing that or listening to it or anything, so take it with a grain of salt. That Nagging Wife of Mine was Terry Fell. Terry Fell did a lot of writing and things back in the 60s. His biggest hit was Truck Driving Man. And oddly enough, I found out that he was the guy that recorded under the name of Brother George Underbush, which you may remember from, I believe it was in the book. It's in the book. No, that was John Stanley. But you know who I mean. The Perch after that, Trouble Granny, followed by 20, count them, 20 Tiny Fingers. That was Al McCogan. Al McCogan was a pretty big star, but had a fondness for the drugs and died of an overdose at the age of 34, much too young. And this is back in the 60s. Two Dreadful Children, probably one of my all-time favorite songs ever. That was Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil was basically the twins, Colm and Philomena Munzer. They were from Northern Ireland. This was back in 1982. Colm is still playing. Philomena is now an author of some renown, and that's about all I can tell you about them. Uncle Pockets, Danny Kaye, of course, Eddie Cantor, and June Clyde, We're Having a Baby. And then three similar creations, let's say. A drawback to putting them all in alphabetical order. We heard What is a Boy from Arthur Godfrey. What is a Husband? That was mostly Jay Meadows with an assist from Steve Allen. His flip side of that was What is a Wife, of course. That goes back to 1956. And then Tom Edwards, What is a Teenage Girl? The flip side, What is a Teenage Boy? So there's a few of those floating around, and they all kind of will get on your nerves after a while, which is why I only put three of them in, okay? So I got a few more for you, three more to be exact. And I just want to let you know that there will be no Bit Slap next week. Like I said, my wife and I are going away on vacation. We are going to Cape Cod. This is the first time we've been away on a vacation that didn't involve going to Maine for a week. We usually would come up to Maine to scout out locations for moving to. But the last time we went away anywhere else was in, I think, 2008. We went to Savannah for a weekend. So this is long overdue, and I'm just not going to worry about it. I'll be back. You'll be fine. There are plenty of Bit Slaps in the archives if you really get lonely. You can go back there and find them. They go back 7 years plus, all right? So I will see you next time we meet. It'll be around 4th of July, so maybe we'll do something around that. We'll see what happens. Have a good week and stay healthy. Don't get what I got. It sucks.
Dysfunctional family reunion. They played games in the shade by a stream. As usual, players were chosen by levels of self-esteem. They played pin the tail on the problem with blindfolds already in place. But nobody had any boundaries, so they wandered all over the place. A DJ was hired to play records, but they didn't dance very well. A few of them did know the two-step, but more were familiar with 12. At the dysfunctional family reunion, nobody had a good time, but they kept it all hidden, pretended they did. As usual, everything's fine. But they kept it all hid and pretended they did. As usual, everything's fine.
These are my people, finest in the land. These are my people, gee, but they are grand. With head held high and step so firm, they're marching out to lunch. These are my people, they are a most sick, pitiful bunch. Marching by, the crowd like Omar Kula cutting up with a bull ring in his ear. There's Elsie Crack, hair down her back, but none upon her head. There's Grandpa Smut, he's such a nut, I swear I thought he was dead. There's Wallace Fine, just fell in line, and the girls are going mad. He's throwing kisses left and right, riding piggyback on Dad. There's Leonard Box, just like an ox, with muscles bulging out. And Grandpa August tried a hog to try to save his gout. There's Ludlow Bean, just chosen queen of Winnemuck, Nevada. He's awfully cute in one-piece suit, no other could look badder. So there they go, a-marching past the town square and the steeple. They may look quaint, don't say they ain't, but these are my people, finest in the land. But they are grand, with head held high and step so firm, I really must confess, these are people. They are the most sick, miserable mess. These are my people.
I really have a yen to go back once again, back to the place where no one wears a frown, to see once more those super special, just plain folks in my hometown. No fella could ignore the little girl next door. She sure looked sweet in her first evening gown. Now there's a charge for what she used to give for free in my hometown. Corner. He was never mean or ornery, he was swell. He killed his mother-in-law and ground her up real well, and sprinkled just a bit over each banana split. The guy that taught us math, who never took a bath, acquired a certain measure of renown. And after school, he sold the most amazing pictures in my hometown. That fellow was no fool who taught our Sunday school, and neither was our kindly Parson Brown. Shall I? No, I think I better not. In my hometown. And though it seems a pity it was so, he loved to burn down houses just to watch the glow. And nothing could be done because he was the mayor's son, the guy that took a knife and monogrammed his wife, then dropped her in the pond and watched her drown. Oh, yes, indeed, the people there are just plain folks in my home.